Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
Emily, why don't you introduce us, give us a little bit of an idea about what you are and, you know, you're here now.
I am a professional dancer. I've danced for several different companies across the country, and including, I'm currently at Ballet Idaho, and prior to that, I freelanced in New York and really across the country, and then I spent probably the majority of my career at Colorado Ballet, but I had been a few other places before that, so I've really been all over, which is obviously sometimes hard to move around, but also so great because I know all these different people from my experiences in different places, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that's one thing I wanted to focus a bit on tonight is the experience of being mm-hmm. in several different environments within your dance career, because a lot of dancers that I work with, one of the challenges often is getting a bit stuck in environments that might not necessarily be what is working for that dancer at the time, for whatever reason it might be. I would say for the most part, just because of the line of work that I'm in, dancers will often be experiencing just a less healthy type of environment, especially around food and body image. So I'm curious to hear a little bit from you about what really led you to experiencing several different environments.
Well, I had a little bit of a rocky start at the beginning of my career. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. And so for those of you who don't know what that is, it's just basically an autoimmune thyroid disorder. And so I was, you know, kind of struggling with that. And it causes all kinds of crazy stuff with your hormones when your thyroid's out of whack. And, you know, I was extremely tired and just so much was going on. I think that part of the beginning of my career being a little bit like moving around was just that, like, I wasn't super healthy, which made it really hard to be able to do what we do. But luckily I have it pretty well managed at this point. And so that's kind of allowed me to have, just the energy and everything that we need as dancers.
Mm-hmm. How long would you say it took you to find a balance with Hashimoto's? Because it's definitely one of those diagnoses, you know, similar to most or many autoimmune diagnoses that are very, first of all, difficult to get a diagnosis for, number one, because it's a lot of ruling out of different symptoms, which can cause the road to management. I don't even want to say treatment, but more just management of the illness, to, you know, somewhat be a little bit dragged out. So I'm curious to hear how long it took you to get to this point of, feeling that you had things managed.
Yeah. Well, I was feeling off, but it took me a while actually. I had called my mom and I had been like, Mom, I just feel like, I'm not feeling quite right, and my feet and hands were really swollen, and everything. I was just really puffy, like my face, and she was like, "Well, you're not eating at home anymore. It's my first year away from home." And she's like, "You're stressed. Like, that's probably normal." And she's right. It probably is normal for your body to be going through some stuff when you first are trying to figure that out on your own. But this was bigger than that. And so I went about a year of not feeling great, not understanding what was going on. And then I went home for the summer layoff, and I really started, my symptoms started to get actually worse. And I think also me being home and my family being like, "Oh yeah, this is not normal. Something's off," was really helpful, because I went to the doctor on my own actually, but they didn't really believe me. They were kind of like, "Yeah, you're probably fine." And I was like, "No, something's wrong, you know." So I would say, yeah, that having support, and also it helps to trust yourself when somebody else is like, "Oh no, yeah, I see what you mean." And so I was able to get diagnosed, but then, it probably took me another year and a half, 2 years to get my medication dose correct and to really start feeling like myself again. And then, it's something that although I'm lucky, because my symptoms have been extremely well managed actually at this point. But I have to kind of be like, just kind of stay on top of things. If I start to feel off, I get it checked out right away. I don't wait,
I think that's really important. I've had some conversations on this series with dancers who have had other types of autoimmune disorders, and the experience of not being believed or being even dismissed can be so incredibly frustrating. So building the confidence and autonomy to advocate for yourself is so incredibly important. One thing that we see with a lot of autoimmune illnesses is a direct, it's almost like immediately what ends up happening is the finger is pointed towards diet. And before dancers will even like reach out to, let's just say, a medical professional, they'll actually drastically change their diet and even teeter into the world of restrictive eating and even disordered eating, which could ultimately even worsen symptoms of the illness. So I think it's also really important for dancers to hear that you are managing this illness with the help of medical professionals, with medication. And I think that's really important for dancers here, because I can't tell you how common it is for dancers to kind of skip over that and say, okay, well, no, let me first change my diet, when in fact, relying first on a medical professional is
Absolutely. I wish I had had that knowledge when I was going through this in the beginning. But what you're saying is absolutely right. And what I thought might be changeable through diet wasn't, because that wasn't the issue. It was hormonal. And so actually, I was creating a bigger problem by trying to, fit into a mold, or all of the things that sometimes happen in the dance world. And luckily, I was able to get things resolved. It didn't feel quick at the time, but somewhat quickly, and I think that it is important, especially dancers tend to be such high achievers that we want to fix the problem ourselves. And I think it's really important to know that sometimes we can't, and to listen to our gut, because I knew what was wrong before anyone else did. And I didn't have the confidence to believe that I really did know I was right,
Absolutely. Shifting gears a little bit, I want to hear about some of the differences in your experiences between being in company life versus being a freelancer. It sounds like right now you're in a company, obviously, right now. I'm curious to hear about the pros and the cons, what you like better, what maybe you dislike.
Yeah, this is such a great question. And I actually ended up in freelancing, not as necessarily an active choice, but kind of by default. And I ended up freelancing during the pandemic. So I decided to leave Colorado Ballet and told the director that I wasn't returning the day before the shutdown. An interesting start to my freelance career. I was rehabbing from an injury at the time, which was also challenging in its own right. And so I knew the beginning of the time that I was moving to New York would be mostly focused on my rehab. And so that's why I went ahead and moved, even though things were not fully up and running. But what was really interesting and cool about moving to New York City and starting a freelance career in the middle of the pandemic, was that I think because there weren't as many of us still actively pursuing work and still in New York City, I was able to kind of get into a small pod and I became closer to people than I might have been if I had just moved to the city under normal circumstances when freelancer schedules are so, everyone has a different schedule. Everyone is in, so even if you overlap with someone in one or two projects, which are, three or four, often happens that you're overlapping. And so like you're dancing with someone in multiple projects, your overall schedule is so different. And so you don't develop the same kind of bonds that I felt like as quickly as you do in a company. But I got lucky in that sense that I got to know people during a time where, while we were not hanging out because of the pandemic and we were being careful, we were in our pods and masking and all those things, in some ways I had the benefit of getting to know people when things weren't so hectic. So that was good. Freelancing is interesting because often it is very much based on get the job done quickly. You don't have a lot of rehearsals. And I was used to company life and there were lots of rehearsals and, that was definitely an adjustment for me. And it in some ways made coming back from an injury really hard because I didn't have the rehearsal process that I was used to kind of build back strength. So I was having to do a lot of my strength training as complete cross training, and that wasn't easy for me. I like being in rehearsal with people. So that wasn't easy, but I did really love the artistic freedom that I had and the ability to, I mean, I had coaches and I had people that were helping me through that. Like if I was rehearsing for Sugar Plum, like while I might not have a coach at every rehearsal, I did luckily have a mentor that coached me and even if it was on Zoom. And so, Amanda McCarrow coached me for Sugar Plum when I was rehearsing during the pandemic. And so that was really special. I had a great, wonderful coaching. But I still had a little bit of artistic freedom of my choices. And so I liked that part of it too. And getting to decide, like, is this work that I want to do? Is this something that artistically is fulfilling to me or a wonderful paycheck or, something that is really beneficial to me. But I always had wanted to really, and my goal had been to get back into a company. And so the things that I missed about company life were the camaraderie that you have with everyone in the company and the kind of team effort that you're building. And then also, I love not just performing. While I do love performing, and I think that's a really important part to enjoy as our, as an artist in our art form, I really like the process of nitpicking it and then building a character and building upon it, and building partnerships with people and all of those things. And in freelance, the freelance world, you don't quite have as much opportunity to do that. It's pretty fast paced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really nice different description of the differences in a nutshell of freelance work versus company life. What I think is really important here is the fact that one path doesn't have to be your only path. I think a lot of dancers will graduate from their BFA programs or maybe just their pre-professional schools and start their career, whether they start in a company or if they don't and they're starting in the freelance side of things. I think it's important to know that this doesn't have to be the end all be all of the long trajectory of your career, right? So I think it's really interesting to hear that you've experienced fulfillment and are still experiencing fulfillment in, you know, both of these paths. And I think it's interesting also hearing about those pros and cons. Would you say that if you had to pick one of the largest challenges of each of these paths, what would it be?
For me, especially at the point of my career that I was freelancing and I had a lot of professional experience at that point, I was able to pace myself physically to where I knew I needed to be to get to my peak place at the performance. And I feel like sometimes because of the company schedule and the way that, you know, choreographers are in and out or, you know, cast are needing to get rehearsed, it's less about your physical well-being and more about what needs to happen. And so, and that's not necessarily anyone's fault. That's just the nature of the how it needs to work. But I find that to be the kind of a little bit more challenging part of being in company life is that, you know, I might not need to run it five times, but because we need to, as a group, make sure that this cast is running and that things are well oiled and that it's going to be good, you know, you're not just looking at yourself as the only priority, you're looking at the whole group as the priority. Right. And then in freelancing, I think the hardest thing is just, I mean, you're constantly searching for work. And so I actually, I don't know if you say this is lucky or not, but I kind of found myself overbooked often because I was so scared not to continue to search for work that I heard about the freelance dry spell. And they were like, it's okay. You just need to make sure you've saved up for your first dry spell. And I was like, what, a dry spell? That, like, I can't go through that. I don't know how I'll afford to live in New York City if that happens, you know? And so I was constantly just, you know, I was wearing a lot of hats. And I still kind of am doing that. But in a way that because I have the stability of working in a company, I have a little bit less, like I'm not organizing my own schedule. I'm told when to come to rehearsal and where the studio is. Whereas freelancing, you have to do all of the jobs. You're finding your own partners. You're finding your own gigs. You're finding your own studio space and you're rehearsing yourself. And then I was also teaching and coaching and running a, you know, artist in residence program. So, you know, like there were so many things that I was doing. And so it's nice to kind of be able to just focus on yourself as a dancer in the company. So there's, you know, pros and cons.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't even tell you how much I relate to that freelance part of that, of just wearing multiple hats, being your own admin and having all of that back end work on top of the actual performance that you're setting forth. It's exhausting.
It really is. And I think so many people don't realize, like you said, the back end of what goes on and what needs to happen. Yeah. But it teaches you a lot too.
Yeah, it teaches you what you need and how you need to advocate for yourself, right? Even just going back to earlier where we were talking about your illness and advocating for yourself as a professional and as, you know, someone who is performing as your career. So yeah, it's incredibly important. I am curious because, you know, in both of these paths, there's a lot to navigate from a general perspective. What are some of the ways that you are able to build balance into your life so that we're not hyper fixating on your dancing? Because dancers often tend to do that, but at the end of the day, it could lead us to burnout. So I'm curious to hear about some ways that you do try to balance things, other hobbies.
I experienced some real burnout when I was freelancing. And I also had to rehab from an injury that took much longer than expected. So I was not only burning out from like the newness slash all of these different hats that I was wearing as a freelancer, but I was also rehabbing an injury. And so it was a lot. And I tend to, like you said, hyper focus on dance. And so for me, what's important is to find like a bit of routine that tends to really help me keep like, okay, this is the time that we shut down. And I think as a freelancer, that was part of what came into my, burnout or just frustration with things is that I couldn't build in that routine. It wasn't sustained. Like you couldn't keep the same schedule. But I did learn how to start structuring my day so that I was, whether or not it was exactly the same, that I had some elements of my day that were the same. So for me, one of the big things about my day that helps me start off in a little bit more perspective is I take some time in the morning and like sit with my coffee and just like sit with my thoughts and try not to like already be looking at my to-do list. And I often take my dog for a walk. So, getting outside first thing in the morning, having like, I don't know, an animal or like a significant other sometimes can be helpful to balance things. And then I also have another business actually, and my husband and I do, and we buy and sell distressed real estate backed notes or loans. So yeah, so I have a little bit
Awesome.
of another
Sure.
side that I also, I'm not spending time on that every single day, but I am involved in trying to get in another, it puts perspective into things. It also sometimes I'm like, wow, there's also these things that happen in another career and not just in dance. Or sometimes it's like, oh, well, that was easy in this way that it wouldn't have felt as easy in dance. It just gives you a little bit more perspective. Yeah,
Oh
and
my
I
gosh.
don't know that I have like a ton of other hobbies, but I love to cook and I love to be with people. Like, I genuinely love to meet new people. I love to reconnect with friends or see friends. So, one of the things that I'll do if I'm super stressed out is I'll call somebody that I, like if I, especially if I'm traveling and I can't get that, whatever it is to kind of like de-stress. Like for me, it's connecting with other people. So.
Absolutely. Perspective is the biggest word that we can walk away from this chat with, right? Reminding ourselves that, it's just ballet. There's a lot more in the world that we can focus on, that we can think about. With our dancing, as we are putting so much effort in, we are putting so much training, so much time, and all of that means so much. We never want to invalidate that. We also want to remember that there are other aspects of life that we can prioritize and keep in check, and it's going to help us with our performance in the long run.
But I think it's really important to know who you are outside the studio because if you don't, you're not usually portraying a ballet dancer. You're portraying, especially in stuff with a storyline, you're portraying either an ethereal character or a real person. And if you don't know what it's like to be outside the studio, you're actually missing out on your artistry in a way. So, especially if I was when I was younger and I just was completely so immersed in the ballet world and I struggled to not, to do anything else or I felt guilty about doing other stuff and I wish I had had a little bit more guidance into living life so that you can, you know what that is, or you know how to portray a person with that emotion or storyline. So
absolutely. Honestly, that really feeds into my final question that I was going to ask you. I'll ask it anyway, just in case there's anything you want to add, but how would you redefine what it means to be the healthy dancer?
Oh gosh, there's so many different ways that, yeah, I mean, that's, I think one of the most important is obviously your mental health, and so that you're really taking care of yourself. And I think, I know most dancers are extremely hard on themselves. And so I know I am.
Yeah.
And I still struggle with it because we're people, we're human, you know? I think for me, the biggest thing is keeping our job in perspective and remembering that we do this because we love it. And kind of reconnecting with why we do what we do. And it's not who we are, mm-hmm. but it's something that we have a passion for. And sometimes that line can get kind of blurred.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that keeping true to ourselves, you know, without trying to sound too cliche, but remembering that we are more than just the dancer in the studio is incredibly important, and that bringing that back into our performance is only going to help us. So, Emily, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to gain your insight. I loved hearing your different perspectives.
So nice, and thank you for inviting me, Rachel.